Hey, it's the Low Life Podcast. Do you know anything about that?
You found us. Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know.
We left us? We left you.
Yeah, we did a pee break.
Once again, we're back for an unexpected two-parter.
Yeah, it's the Low Life Podcast, and we are still talking about the 1984 film.
82.
It's 84.
It's 84?
I'll fight you on this.
I thought it was 82.
I'll come to Jersey.
Somebody never does their reading.
I know you kept saying 82, and I was like 84, and
84.
You just weren't here. What, like, the fuck? It's 84. It came out the same year as fucking Terminator.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it was filmed in 84. It might have been released in 85, actually. But not important.
Nope.
Okay.
It is important?
I don't know.
Almost any other Michael Crichton movie. this is more Congo than Jurassic Park.
Oh, Congo. I have contributions from that movie.
Congo, that film has a special place in my heart because it does the comedy bit well. This does not.
Yeah.
Congo was apparently meant to be popular because there were literally action figures for it, which I had.
Mm-hmm. That was kind of a fucked up premise for action figures, but okay.
Yes.
I just remember the laser cutting the top of a monkey's head off.
Right. Yeah, it was amazing.
Right.
That was like actually a fantastic moment.
Yeah, I saw that movie when I was a kid, and I should not have. And now I kind of want to do Congo, but we got to talk about this movie, which
previously,
if you're just joining us, we talked about an incredible piece of film of removing like an unexploded piece of ordnance from his partner's arm, but not showing any gore, which is somehow worse.
Yeah.
And it was really good. It was a very effective scene. And I'm sorry, who plays Karen? I'm terrible at names.
Cynthia
Rhodes.
Rhodes.
Cynthia Rhodes is an incredible actress, and it is a very good scene. I hope you had your fill of good cinema, because at this point, everything is pretty fucking stupid.
Downhill from
it's, man.
Well, the next scene opens up where, there's another annoying scene with Bobby. I don't even remember what he says. Something like, you know, please give me a mom again. A romantic subplot that does not need to be in the...
He literally says something like that.
He says that at one point, and then this one, he's like, I heard you swear on TV, never do it again. You said words that I'm not allowed to say, and I was like, slap him. It's 1984. I would have gotten hit with a wooden spoon. Just one open palm slap. Just stop it. Well, you're never there. A kid's being raised by a fucking robot.
A
robot's annoying. Oh, God. I hate Lois so much.
Yeah, I've
been thinking about, like, what are your least favorite robots from cinema? And I think Lois has taken the bottom spot.
Yeah, she's pretty bad. Cool design, but really bad.
But the next scene that's worth talking about or has anything interesting in it before it really gets pretty bad is they open up the police HQ and we're examining one of the gyroc rounds. Pretty cool. They spray it with like liquid oxygen to get it all cold. They slice it in half. You look inside. It's got all these computer bits. And then they get kind of dumb where he's like, this is the part we were talking about earlier where it's like, oh, the round is is targeted to a target to a person's unique body heat signature.
Yeah, this is where I this is where I checked out.
Like, and then they're standing in front of it, even though it's split in half. It's still all
motherfucker tries to light a cigarette in front of it, and that's how they learn it's heat seeking because the thing beeps.
Sorry, it was even dumber than that.
Yeah, it was really stupid.
I actually forgot about that. And I just
can't figure
it
how
twice.
It's triggered. I can't figure out how it's triggered, and then,
this
like,
thing is literally trying
inside.
To kill you.
I'm having a Nick fit. You know,
in front of the fucking ordnance.
Can I just say, not enough cigarettes in this movie.
But then also Marvin has like a kind of a dumb speech here. He's like, we used to worry about crooks getting A-bombs. This is worse. And I'm just like, microelectronics really is worse than criminals getting A-bombs?
As someone who has been all about media that involves crooks getting A-bombs, not a concern in the real world, folks. Like, there was this the suitcase dirty bomb thing always comes up, especially with conspiracy theorists and shit like that. But that's never worked. Like, it's impossible. It gives off a fucking huge radiological signal. It's easy to detect. Any kind of sensor is going to fucking pick it up.
And I'm trying to make sense of
this. Oh, I have a lead briefcase. Like, what do you mean?
He's like, you know, we used to worry about crooks getting gay bombs. This is worse. And it's like, yeah, I guess the real problem is microelectronics. If we're talking about polluting water systems and poisoning children that are recycling.
Yeah, because he's trying to say, like, you know, what if this gets in the hands of, like, terrorists and shit like that? And I'm like, well
good news. It's the year 2024. They have it. It's great. Like, nothing. They're more precise, if anything. You know what I mean? There's a lot less collateral damage than you'd think, I guess. I don't know. What the fuck? Like, what if this gets into the hands of, like, you're ever going to be able to keep that secret?
I think it's adorable, though, because we are watching this in 2024 where, like, they put a 12-millimeter cannon on top of a robot dog. So, like, this doesn't fucking faze me, man.
12-millimeter cannon. Yeah, that's just one of the options. I've seen the flamethrower version. I've seen the rocket launcher version. It's great. You can customize it to such a degree. But again,
well,
after
fortunately,
this,
like Tom Selleck, I'm like, yeah, you've already had that thing for a year and it barely worked.
So after this real interesting kind of threat identification scene for Marvin, the lieutenant comes back in and he's screaming because the investigation's going nowhere. The lieutenant's got two speeds.
Yeah, he does.
Yep.
But the investigation's going nowhere, so now he's angry. Before he was like happy, and then he was angry, and then he's happy again. I think that, so. He's angry again because we got the girl, and the lieutenant says the girl goes nowhere.
He has.
So I want you to talk to the psychic.
God,
she's in the building. I can send her down right now.
I went outside and went for a walk.
Blocked this scene from my memory. I forgot.
So lieutenant, from when I was a kid, when I saw that again, I was like, just like, wait, what?
What?
Fuck?
Is this a different
just
movie?
Sitting here watching what the fuck? This is the fucked up part. We just had an incredible piece of movie about, like, the whole X-ray gun bullet thing, surgery.
Right.
And then we get the psychic.
We had science.
Man. And I'm like, is this, so, I know back in the day, like, cops were like weird satanic panic shit. They were like, maybe we should give a psychic a try. I know that was a part of United States history when it comes to policing, where they're like, there was some creed, they tried to give some credence to, like, using psychics in police work. I know that was a thing.
So did Reagan's White House, for fuck's sake.
Yes, like astrology and shit, right? But I'm like, why is that in this movie?
No reason.
And why does it do nothing?
Oh, no. This is what happens. The captain says the girl leads nowhere. Then he goes and talks to the psychic, and the psychic says, you have what he wants, meaning the girl. So stupid. Fucking 5-10 minutes of the movie, it didn't need in here.
This
movie should be 86 minutes long.
I literally remember seeing this, like, on the TV release and thinking, like, wait a minute, was that in the first time I watched? Is this a different movie? Like, for
fucking
fuck's sake.
Insane. It didn't, it does nothing. It tells us nothing.
We watched this on Tubi, so there's just, like, weird, like, moments where a commercial break fits.
Yeah.
And this is the part where it's really confirmed strange. That Luther is obviously like a bizarro world Musk, because the commissioner comes in again saying he's happy this time because he found out Luther, the guy from the sting that went bad, is actually a big fish to get. He's a rich kid gone bad. It looks like he's got a degree from this place and that place. And
he took a couple night classes. He does surgery.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's happy again. is the point.
Yeah. Lieutenant Tappy this again. Is all we get on Gene Simmons, on Luther, Gene Simmons' character. This is all we really get in his backstory besides evil man is evil.
Right.
Such a missed opportunity. Like, just give me a reason he's doing this. What is he trying to make the stock of the robot factory so that he can make more money? Like, give me a reason, Crichton.
Because we don't even know what he does. I remember
sell it to mafia or terrorists, maybe. Yeah. Like, that was the point.
Like, okay, so maybe this is LA. Okay, you got your chips. Get the fuck out of town.
Yeah.
Like, movie's over.
Go to Miami. Go to Mexico. I don't know. I thought this was Miami, but I was apparently mistaken.
But speaking of Luther, we get to hear from him again, even though we learn nothing more about his desires or motivations or anything, because he's calling the police station. And then again, this is kind of a neat tech part where he's calling the police station. Kind of a neat and kind of a silly tech part, because he's calling the police station and he says, "I'm looking at you right now." So he's hacked the camera to the police station too. And then he says, "I'm calling from a cellular phone. You'll never trace me."
I laugh into that in 2024.
So good.
Adorable. It's
entire premise of The Wire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's hard to not look at your phone from this moment on. It's really hard not to just like scroll through like infinite videos on like Insta.
I did. That's basically what I started doing at this point. Because
I grabbed my game controller. I'm watching this on, you know, my PlayStation, and I'm just like, I was about to start playing a game.
Yeah, because
like automatically, as if I was going to be able to keep watching the movie.
Dude, it's the psychic, man. Like everything before that, you're like locked in. But then, like,
yeah, my brain said eject.
yes, right. Like, after why not? The best scene in the movie.
This is really interesting part where Luther's reaching out. Why not show him? Why not have some? I can't.
Yeah, like cut back to him in some mysterious location with like a dark background. Like, you know, you don't have to show me him, like where he's at. It could be cooler, because at one point he walks right the fuck into the police station in a uniform.
Oh my God. I hated that scene. That made me actually.
Did that happen already?
Yeah, that's coming in pretty soon.
It comes later. Yeah.
Next is the scene we were kind of talking about a little bit earlier, but they decide that they're going to move Kirstie Alley to another place where she can be safer, but she's still being coy with them and not letting them know that besides the chips, there's actually these templates to make the chips that they're looking for. So again, like another layer on the onion, kind of cool. I really think they could have done more with it, but they go through this elaborate scene where they scan her and they basically like strip her. You don't see her boobs, but cryptically she turns around. She's got all these big like welts on her back, like from BDSM play that they
again, just scar. That's what I assumed immediately, because they're like gnarly, but they're like gnarly scars. And
yeah, I'm not entirely sure what made them.
They looked more like abuse scars,
or like burns.
Are they
bruises? Like I couldn't really tell.
You're just supposed to get that she's like a never. Big femme she's been hurt.
Yeah, she's been hurt.
She's been hurt. Somebody's hurt her.
Because that's the extent of her character, though, which sucks. Because her, the actress, is amazing, and
the shoulder pads.
This is not a good performance by her.
It's really upsetting.
She's given nothing to do.
No, she's given. Yeah,
and she's dispensed with, which pisses me off.
Yeah. But the dumbest part, they do this whole debug scan so they can get her out of her clothes, and you get like a cheap thrill. But they don't scan her fucking purse.
Right.
Yeah, that was.
They
weird.
Make a point of keeping the purse out, which just like telegraphs what happens later. It's dumb. It's poor writing. So yeah, they didn't scan the purse. Dumb rookie mistake by these veteran cops.
Then
we get to a pretty cool chase scene where they're moving her. They get to the police garage and these really unassuming police cars. I think they're Mercury something or other. I don't
this
know.
Is one
dude, they almost look like I had like a Toyota Corolla from the.
I'm glad we're 80s. Talking about the police cars, man.
Yeah, the police cars are cheap.
I love it. I
they're
love
so
it.
Small.
I love shitty police cars in movies.
They're so great.
I love it.
Like it didn't hit me at first. Like when I was rewatching it didn't hit me immediately at first. I'm like, that doesn't look too different from the fucking little four-door goddamn Corolla I had. Yeah. That thing was great.
There was something like about cars in the 80s, right? Because like back even in the 90s where it's like you can tell like, okay, that's like standard issue car and it's kind of shitty, but it works.
Oh, like whatever the budget for this movie was $8 million. I'm imagining maybe four of it went to Selleck because the rest of it was parsed like barely. Yeah.
Yes.
That Selleck and the robots, and then the rest of it was just like, let's just get some of these used Corollas and paint them white. Stick a fucking like
dude,
bar like, on top of it that looks like it increases the weight of the car by
14%. Because at least RoboCop, it makes sense that like the police cars are like shitty beat up like Yeah. Basically, like,
this is the future.
This is the future. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're slightly more fuel efficient because they're smaller.
I do like this scene though. This is where, like, this is where I put down my phone again. You know what I mean?
Right.
Is the car chase scene. Because now they're
remote control bombs.
They put
the heads up displays.
This is again a really cool part.
This is a really cool part because they go into basically again.
Okay, it's an 80% cool part.
It's an 80%.
One fifth of it really is like, what the fuck are you doing?
Because they're like, okay, we're gonna like move you. We're gonna have like something of a convoy, but we're gonna get into the robot car with a mannequin to make it look like it's actually being driven by a human being.
The auto driving robot car that has like a Johnny Cab looking rubber CPR mannequin in front.
Yeah, it's just CPR mannequin with a wig on. It's amazing. And they're trying to move. They're trying to move her, and they're going through. This is where I. Good night, everyone. Say good night to my grandfather.
That's when you checked good night. Out.
Good job.
That's why I said good night.
That means you too, listener. what was I talking about? No, this is the point where I was hoping I could figure out what city this took place in, but.
I still don't. Yeah,
it didn't happen.
It's any town in USA in the vague future.
It's supposed somewhere. To be LA.
It's supposed to be. It does not look
which.
Like it.
It with the traffic, like, not a chance.
No, it's not.
They're actually moving.
Yeah, this could be Colorado. Like, there's no indicator.
See,
like
that would be more plausible.
Yeah,
it looks more like
because like these aren't standard issue cop cars.
No,
they don't have the license plates. Don't say
no.
It's just like, all right, fine.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed.
But some assassins creep up behind them, and again, it's not Luther in the car. He's not one of these assassins. But
nope, just goons.
Missed opportunity. They have these like homing drones. That's it's pretty cool. It's like an RC car, basically like a shaped charge on top.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love these things. And, they open like a false bottom on their car, and
they just let it out in traffic.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. This is a great cool thing.
Yeah. And they just
and then the police cars right. have like a projection holo on the windows where they can track these things, and somehow it also has like a tiny little laser on the top of it. It's really cute.
Karen's trying to do an interception, and she's just using this laser on top of the car to literally shoot these like drone bomb things that move faster than the cars around them.
Yeah.
Like, these things are like,
they're fast as fuck, boy.
Yeah. Their speed is like shown to you. And I'm like, okay, this is
now the cars are driving 15 miles an hour.
Well, yeah, to make this,
you know what I mean? But I mean,
the illusion.
Yeah, the illusion, they pull it off.
Yes, they did.
And they are a threat because they fuck shit up, man. They explode. Like, they blow the fuck
and
up.
They have a lot.
I remember, like, as a kid, I thought this was a little underwhelming, but knowing what I know now as an adult about narco state politics, this is terrifying.
Yes.
Yeah. False bottom cars have always been a fun thing for me. I've always thought about them. I've always been like, okay, this is where you put the caltrops down. You know,
exactly. Like, yeah. It's been a while since I've seen like a false bottom car. You know,
I don't know why they make me so fucking happy.
I don't know. It's ridiculous. One of those things
where it's like, why is it this standard issue? It's like, oh, because somebody would like Flintstone their feet off at like 88 miles an hour.
But they managed to like do a really dumb switch where they both hop into the one car that they should have all just been in one car in the first fucking place. But that's, I guess, so one car can be blown up. But they do like a high speed flip from one car into the other, which, I mean, that's the time the drones really should have found them and killed them.
This bit where he's like straddling, like they have the doors open, just roll the windows down and get closer.
Yeah, the doors is someone has done this before, not at speed, but
I'm looking at it like, are you 12? Because he's trying to do like this Van Damme split before that ever became
that
a thing.
That was upsetting to me, actually.
This entire transfer into the other vehicle was so really unnecessary.
It's really awkward. This isn't even like passing cigarettes between two cars. This is like, there was this. I feel this could have been done better.
Yeah.
The worst part of it is that they figure out, as everyone already knew, that it's a fucking purse that they didn't scan that they're tracking that has a bug in it. It's just
And she's playing coy about it, but then eventually she's like, all right, fine, here.
She's like, oh, come on. She pulls out the really templates. Expensive Chanel limited edition. I don't want to get that.
It's so dumb.
He throws it out poorly. That's the only way I could describe it, because he doesn't really throw it out. It just kind of like falls out the window and lays on the side of the road. And then, I mean, it was so unenthusiastic. It kind of, you just roll your window down a bit more, but you can get that thing the fuck out of here.
How would you describe Selleck's energy in this film?
Medium. Medium.
Yeah, right?
Medium.
About where I'm at.
Because I would say
there's not
a
lot of joy in the
It's a little less than him trying to convince you that reverse mortgages are not a scam.
It's about as good as his performance on Blue Bloods, which I had been against my will forced to watch a couple episodes of.
Didn't know he was.
And again, he's not a bad actor. He's not a terrible actor.
He's in that with the other Wahlberg.
Okay.
It's a cop family movie or show. They're all cops. They talk about cop stuff.
I hate that.
But they're a family.
But it's called Blue Blood.
Yeah. Cop family.
Blue Bloods.
That sucks. Let's talk about it.
Literally everything about it sucks.
Yeah, no, it sounds awful. It sounds terrible. But yeah, no, Selleck's energy in this is not great. His enthusiasm is not great, which is a character choice. His energy is just not there.
I wonder what it was like on set. I just kept thinking about that this whole time.
Well, like I mentioned earlier, it's not a lot of behind the scenes stuff that I could find. I bet there's a lot. There's a lot that happened.
There had to have been.
Yeah, like
he's surrounded like
notes from the producers, like you know, like all kinds of shit.
A lot of choices. Why is this kicking in there?
You have Gene Simmons. You have Selleck. You have two beautiful co-actresses. I don't know how they're all going to be like as people around each other. You know what I mean?
Like, was the psychic scene supposed to draw in fans of The Exorcist and The Omen? Like, what the?
No.
I'm going to spend the rest of my life
didn't even help
wondering about this choice.
Didn't help a thing. And then the next part here is a little weird too, because we jumped to something that was already set up between them. I guess this is a part that ended up on the cutting room floor that maybe shouldn't have been, because we just, after the car scene is resolved, we get to like, he's taking Kirstie Alley to meet up with Luther or to draw Luther out. But I guess
he's Karen, like, you have to make a public appearance.
Yeah.
Somewhere else looking for him. But Karen, all this we have to surmise, because next thing we know, Karen is captured by Luther and they're in a restaurant.
Outdoor restaurant.
We have to talk about the sushi machine.
Oh, God damn it.
That was another cool little spot. They're sitting next to like a sushi vending machine, having a conversation.
Cool is the way I would describe it.
No, I would call it, one, pretty racist. Two, vending machine sushi does not sound appealing.
Nah.
I won't eat sushi from the fucking grocery store.
Yeah, there's like definitely a hierarchy. There's grocery store
where
under that
they have a place who specifically does
machine.
It. I still won't do it. Like I don't like sushi anyway, man. I just need to cook my food.
I like sushi fine.
I've had it and I've enjoyed it, but then one time I got like extremely violently sick on it.
Oh,
and it just ruined it for me.
I like it done well. I like restaurant sushi prepared by someone who knows what they're doing is very good and enjoyable and visually appealing.
Yeah, I don't need like my burger to be well done or nothing, you know.
Yeah, like, I don't need my sushi to come out of like a vent.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens is like it's, you know, racist Japanese voice caricature. And Selleck is like, "Oh, doesn't that look nice?" And I'm just like, "Fuck you."
The funny thing about it is it's like not like a vending machine, not like you would imagine.
No, it's next to this outdoor restaurant.
It's almost like a countertop, and then it has this giant neon caricature of a sushi chef.
Yeah,
that's animated in neon, you know, and it's chopping.
Of course, it is.
Yeah. And there's a voice that comes out of it that it just makes your toes curl, and then just the slot opens up, and it just boom. There's just three sets of, you know, like
sushi roll.
The fuck did you order this? Like, when did you do this transaction? I don't know why this thing is just giving it away.
What he wants, and then he
tells it, "I want a California roll and some shit." I don't remember, but
I don't know.
Oh, all right. See, I was looking at my phone.
Yeah. Yes, he does tell it, and he's like, "Oh, doesn't that look nice?" And
how do you pay for it?
Don't worry about it.
Oh, it's cop sushi. It's like going to the donut shop in L.A. You know,
it's scanned his eyes.
But anyway, they're at this fucking like open air restaurant that's near a bunch of these big waterfalls that have this really kind of, I like them, like in the background, like under the water. The back is lit like blue with the shadows of like trees. It has this sort. It's just this really cool effect. I was like, oh, that's nice. I like that. You know, like that's a cool spot to be.
Why is there
this?
A sushi machine next to this outdoor restaurant that's apparently a completely separate restaurant than what the fucking vending machine is?
People
is
that
the
are
vending
not
machine
as...
for the pores?
Exactly.
I'm still thinking about the psychic guys.
Not as well off as you can watch you eating your better food on the other side of the fence.
There's no tables for that sushi thing. Are you supposed to just shovel sushi into your mouth with your bare hands?
Yeah, I didn't see any implements or napkins.
I'm more upset about this again, fucking sushi robot than anything else.
That's
Dinner's not very well thought out, but neither is the next this next part of the plan where Luther's got Taryn hostage. They're trying to do like a swap, but I guess Luther brought them here to not get noticed, and he says like we don't want to be shooting this place up, but then he ends up shooting the place up, and it's
He just murders her. Like they do.
She cuts the tears off some of the templates. Yeah, she's like, "This is my insurance policy." I'm like, "What?" And then she goes, and they do the exchange.
And they kiss. And luckily,
it's not the half that has the bug that that Selic has planted for the next whole part of the thing. Anyway, it's just she makes calls the play in the huddle and changes it. And it's like, I'm going to take half of this. I'm going to give it to him. And of course she gets iced like in front of everybody. He takes out a switchblade, stabs her in the back of the brain. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Extremely cruel. Kills her, throws her in the little pool that's next to all the fucking restaurant tables. And then that's it. You never hear about her again.
Mm. Yeah. Cause it's implied they were in a relationship. They kiss. But they meet. And then just pulls out
a knife. And then she gets to bite a blood capsule when she gets stabbed in the head.
Yeah, it's such a waste of her.
I wonder if she had that happen because she was like a big Kiss fan. And like that's Gene Simmons' thing. Like it shows like he has blood capsules and he'll just like let it drill down his face and shit back when the face paint days.
I hope she got paid a lot of money.
I do too. Yeah, she's great. She's great. Yeah.
She's a great actress and that was like a waste of her talent.
Musk shoots a place up. I'm sorry. Luther shoots a place up and jumps off of like a waterfall.
We do not actually think Elon Musk shot up a restaurant.
Yeah, that's a hell of a jump.
And then this is just really poorly shot because it just shows him wet and like standing and glaring, and the cops are just kind of looking around. They make no effort to pursue him or to catch him. He's like literally maybe 10 feet away and they just find him.
Yeah. He's in a bush or something or like,
but they don't even show a bush.
It's just, you never see.
He's just glaring.
Where he is in like regard to them. Like there's a lot that this movie doesn't do that a lot. It doesn't place a character in a position. Like we were saying earlier about Karen's thinking. On the 18th fucking floor with the robot. She's like, hey, we did it.
Like, this movie's really afraid to go to other people's point of view.
It might have cost money.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, God. So, wait, where are we? I can't. I'm already, like, I'm looking at my phone right now.
Yeah, he escapes by hiding in plain sight, I wrote. And then they go to,
Oh, that's right.
They have an ace in the hole because, again, the commissioner's mad because they lost him, but they have an ace in the hole because he has the tracking device, so they track it to a hospital, but it turns out he fled from the hospital because the cops are so inept. It's just really...
Well, let's talk about the tracking device.
Let's talk about the hospital.
Let's talk about the template.
Let's talk about all of this.
Are like one of those like flip wallet things that you put photos like in back in the day.
Yeah,
right. And they look like film negatives, and they're just like a bunch of templates. So the tracking device is like the size of a fucking hairpin.
It's a sewing pin.
It's like a stick pin. Yeah. You know. Now I paused it because I wanted to get a better look at it, and they tried to make it look like a something at the end of it.
Yeah,
but like. It's huge and it's not like in the fold. It's sitting like just up off the bottom, of like one of these templates. I'm like, is that even a good idea to put?
Yeah, it would be different.
Like, why are they so big?
Like the safety, like head, like of a, so of like, a hairpin or something.
Yeah.
It's funny too. Cause earlier he's like, give me a bug, something small.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it didn't have like that, like pearl head on it, like, it would have made a little bit more sense where it's like, okay, yeah, you stick somebody with this in their clothes and they don't fucking notice it.
Found the ones on Kirstie Alley's body.
Exactly.
What do they look like?
And he ends up like, obviously he found it. They go to the hospital. He's stuck in like a roll of toilet paper. Then two, what we call in the industry, shreddies get killed.
This poor lady.
With
the glasses.
She did.
I love her.
Yeah, she did.
She does all the craft jobs. She was on the detective lady. Team. She does the ID sketches. She does. Yeah.
She had a lot to do, and
she did.
Here she is on screen, showing up, being competent as fuck, and then,
dusting for turds.
Yep.
So the way she
we're meant to believe this chihuahua-sized spider is sneaky because it crawls up the wall and she can't find it. And
it can somehow climb up walls.
Mm-hmm.
What's a spider? Come on.
I know. I guess.
It's not like a fucking toys.
But this is the funny thing. It's a 2-for-1 because it lands on her, shoots her in the chin with this acid, and the other guy runs in because she's screaming, rightfully so. And he walks in, and she's dying in this toilet. And then it explodes and blows him into urinals.
Yeah, it lights him on fire.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what?
Definitely pyrotechnic, too.
Yeah, it's a brutal death for.
But then again, why acid? Why acid?
Why kill these cops? He doesn't fucking care. He got away. He's a psychopath.
He's so bad.
Yeah, that's what it is.
He's just a bad guy.
Yeah, that's.
And again, it's just like there's so much. Man, if you don't give him a reason to be crazy and dumb, I don't care that he's crazy and dumb. Like, is he just a megalomaniac? He has to use all these devices that can be tracked back to him and all the places where he's known to be. It's really.
I think they were just really excited about these little spider toys that they made for this movie.
Yeah. And they certainly got their use out of them.
And they just show them on screen as much as possible.
You know, I just thought of something. Yeah. There's another reason why this movie probably tanked. In 1983, right, when Kiss took the makeup off for that album, there was a backlash.
Sure.
Because everybody was just like, oh, man, fuck these guys, man. Fuck this shit. What, you're just like normal now. Look at these guys and look at this stupid song they put out. And everything. There was just like weird backlash, except for the diehards. People hated Kiss. Gene Simmons is not, he's like literally the opposite of a draw here.
That's a good point.
Like at this era. That he
really can't act.
Because they totally, you know, they got back to it and they eventually started putting makeup on again. Because why the fuck not? Nostalgia sells. Like, it was just, I really forgot about that. I just remember the older kids were just like, man, fuck these sellouts.
Yeah.
Sellouts still being a thing.
It is strange that he's in this movie.
Well, I mean, he's in another movie. And I when we initially were talking about this,
yes,
I was like, well, we should do a double like feature, but we're not doing that. Okay. Eventually we are going to probably talk about Wanted Dead or Alive with Rutger Hauer, because that movie sits right in my mind the same way this one does, because that's the exact amount of time where actually it was just like kind of into Kiss weirdly. Cause I was like, well, better, your old stuff is good
in that movie. If I recall,
he's a much better death
by degrees.
His death is fantastic. Spectacular. It's one of my favorite cinematic deaths in period.
This movie's weird too, because if we get back to the spiders, those scenes are shot like a horror movie. Like there are like horror movie perspectives, like we're in the like the viewpoint of the monster.
Yeah.
You know, in the end we get we'll talk about the end, fuck. But that's the most, but like it's weird. This movie's weird.
You could step on them. You could step on. They can't support your weight. You could break their legs. Yeah. I mean,
it definitely felt like they could have.
I was afraid of them out of politeness.
They would have been more effective if they really did want to do the horror movie route, if they just didn't really show them too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, or again, if they were just like smaller and more numerous, you know, you can squash 2 or 4 of them, but not anyway.
Because they don't move. Yeah. You have to understand that, like they're being pulled by a wire or something. But what they do is they just have these 6 legs that just kind of clatter.
Yeah,
yeah, that's it. And
moving on though, the next thing we get back to Luther, and this one again is kind of cool because we see that he has infiltrated the police station in a police uniform, and he has like a. So everything that anytime that Ramsey's had to use the computer, he's had to do this retinal eye scan, and it looks like Luther's got some kind of like retinal, like a fake eyeball, like a retinal scan skeleton key, which again, a very cool little thing that they could have explained a little bit better.
Like,
or maybe,
how'd you get it? Like, I can't even think of the first question of how he got a copy of Tom Selleck's eye, unless he hacked that system.
I think a lot of really cool ideas, not really super well thought out about how. How that's executed, how it actually works in the world where you put this thing.
Man, this movie almost predicted 3D printing, you know.
I thought it was a minority. But this is also the spot
where we get to we see Jack's police record, where he's also a sharpshooter and riot control cop. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's into football and soccer
career.
Like his kid.
They got there.
And we never and none of this becomes apparent.
None of it matters.
None of it matters.
He's a sniper? Oh, really?
Sure.
Because the only thing we ever see him carry is like, what is like fucking like a 45 or something.
He's like a 45 like a
shotgun.
He has the shittiest looking 45 long slide because all their guns have extenders.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. It's the 45 long slide hardballer. It's the same gun from Terminator, but without the laser sight on it.
Yes.
That's hilarious because Terminator came out this year.
Yeah.
And somehow the long slides in this look way shittier than the one in Terminator.
Yeah, they really do.
Like, they don't look good.
It's like the only thing that's really like cinema in this film is like the elevator ride at the end a little bit and the bullets. Uh-huh. Everything else looks like a TV show.
Yes.
Yeah. It really looks like he had when Crichton was making this, it almost feels like he had a mind towards this being a made for TV movie. Mm-hmm. Like it's the way it's kind of shot. It almost feels like it should be a miniseries like over a couple days or something.
Yeah.
But again, he tried to put in all this like police procedural stuff that like, okay, I don't care about any of that. Can we just...
Right.
I don't know. It falls flat. It falls flat. I understand what he was trying to do. It really kind of falls flat.
This is one of those... Okay, so this movie, it reminds me of people who take on slogans that like they're trying to appropriate from, say, another culture or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is like... I know what my outrage is supposed to sound like. I don't have any principles, but I'm going to scream and yell and get attention. You know, like it's the mimicking of an actual well-written speech, just something being screamed at you by like some kind of, I don't know, former president that is like still around. You know what I mean? Like, I know what a speech is supposed to sound like, and I'm just going to throw things that'll make you cheer in it. And then there's like the Gettysburg Address. You know what I mean? And like this feels more like not Trumpian necessarily, but that kind of like megalomaniacal, like, oh, I know what this is supposed to be. Because you have to understand, the guy's made a couple of good movies. Like, he knows how to make a film. It's really baffling why this turned out the way
this it is. This is the first one where he had the most control.
Yeah.
From what I read.
That's interesting.
It's always a problem.
You know that. Do you think this movie could have been improved if it wasn't a movie, but like you said, a miniseries? Do you think like more time would have?
This could have been like a prestige HBO thing.
And if they really would have developed the villain more, because like I said, I don't care why any of this is happening. And the other big thing, okay, the movie is called Runaway. It's supposed to be about runaway robots. None of these are runaway. This is an intentional act. This is a different premise altogether. Yeah. I mean, like
that's the only one. That's
similar premises that have done better. Pat Labor, the anime, Apple Seed, the anime. Yeah. Like that's this story, but much better executed.
Yeah. Pat Labor 2 is one of my all time favorites.
Yeah, but Pat Labor also has like a revolver the size of a bus.
It's wonderful.
It's wonderful.
Let's press on. Let's get it done with because we're almost there.
I'm fading fast.
But yeah, again, a lot of really cool ideas that didn't get super well developed or explained. But he goes in, he's got the skeleton key eye. And to be extra creepy, he leaves the information up on the computer. So when Jack gets back, he realizes, oh, the guy is looking for my son. Jack rushes back to his house.
That might be Lois the smartest thing he does. Lois is all busted.
What, leaving the...
Leaving the screen up to like as bait.
It's a sting.
Yeah, that could have been the only... Yeah, that could have been the only thing that in this movie that he did that was like, oh, that's smart.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Jack and Karen rush back to Jack's house. Lois is all busted up. Poor Lois.
I like that part.
And then Luther calls and tells him we're going to have our big showdown because the end of the movie's coming up, more or less. And like, you know, they do the thing where like, he's like, he tells them on the phone, but he won't tell Karen. And he's like, I've got to go alone. And he goes, but then Karen finds out where the place is. And again, like trophy.
Oh, wait. We get like this bit is. Oh, man. He's like, if I tell you, won't try to follow me. Right. And she's actually acting her ass off in this. She's like, no, I absolutely will not. And then he just like gives her this like what should have been a better look and then just walks out and doesn't tell her.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. You almost think he's going to tell her. And then he does. No, this was one of the parts that he excelled at acting. I think for the movie too, Tom Selleck and this whole last part of it. This whole
Which
last
is day. A shame because it's not good.
Oh, everything from this moment on is kind of dog shit.
Yeah.
Like it only because it takes so fucking long for so little to happen.
It feels so long, but also feels short at the same time, which in itself is a feat.
Yeah. Because it does take a long time to end, and every time you think it ends, it doesn't really end, even when it does end.
It even has a fucked death.
It even has a bullshit jump scare.
That yeah, it even has a jump scare at the end where it's like, is it over? And this is where... this is
a
where
lot happens.
It's horror movie influence.
A lot happens, yeah.
During that part.
It gets super horror movie here at the end. He gets there, and like the bottom of the construction place is like a spider ground. There's the spiders
it's
everywhere.
All robots. It's all
no,
robots.
No.
Sparks.
They're not. No. There's like seven of them. If he could literally look left and just grab a hammer.
I'm trying to build some kind of drama where none exists because again, six chihuahuas. I'm stomping them, but
it's the bricks all over the place.
It's so dumb.
The construction light is loaded with robots, so it's all lit up at night. And Luther gives him some bad dialogue, and he comes up, and there's like an exchange, and he programmed the spiders to kill his kid, but the elevator's it's really complex. It all happens really fast. The one best thing I'll say for this is also kind of one of the dumbest things for this. The elevator scene with him alone, like fighting the three spiders, is really harrowing. I was on the edge of my seat the whole effing time.
Because he gets sprayed in the face with acid.
They spray him like, in the face with
stabbed
acid.
Stabbed in the hand. He has to like, but here I am looking at them like, I just kick them off, man. Like,
no, they're not. That's the thing. It's like,
this first
monster
of all,
is not threatening at all. Looking
very dumb that he doesn't kick him off. Second of all, the elevator has a malfunction. Gets all the way to the top. There's like a problem. And like, he has to hit the reset button, which is on the bottom of the elevator.
You know, like you
for
do.
What fucking reason?
Oh, let's talk about this elevator for a second. Humid speed.
Yeah, I guess that's generous.
Terrifying.
Elevator. Remember
terrifying
the human elevator. Human speed button?
Yeah. From the first elevator. Want to put it on human speed.
There's no other setting. If you hit that, how do you untoggle it?
Like, there's also like no safety to keep you like inside the elevator.
I think now you can hook into something, but like those exist.
Yeah, but I don't know. That thing, I've been on weird elevators. That one's probably the scariest one I've ever seen.
And again, this whole thing is filled with like smart things and dumb things. Smart things and dumb. Scene, he's dodging the undodgeable, you know, rocket bullets, but he's not really dodging them. He turned on the steam, so the heat signature won't work or whatever. But anyway, a lot of smart things, a lot of dumb things. A lot of smart things, a lot of dumb things.
Well, that was so smart, I didn't even occur to me. I thought he did it just to hide.
Yeah,
so much happens. So much happens in this.
Like, I do like the thing with the gun where the gun does have its weakness. Is like, you know, if you put a wall between you and it, the projectile is just going to hit the wall.
Okay,
I did.
Hold on a second. Let me. Okay, I've been waiting to say this the entire thing.
Oh, please.
These are some of the weakest weapons I've ever fucking seen in a movie. all of them, except for the fucking little remote control car bombs.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. No, because like
probably the most effective. Yeah, when you break it down.
Everything else is just like, okay, so he has that opening little stun laser thing. He's going up against the 357 Magnum, and he's like, pew, pew. And I'm like, okay, all right, fine.
Underwhelmed.
Whatever.
Extremely.
I'm like, well, you know, it's practical. It's got a battery pack. You know, like, I'm like, all right, fine. If you have a laser like that, you don't need a whole barrel and shit
killing
to get
robots,
in the way.
Robots, presenting PowerPoint, whatever you need it for.
Yeah, all kinds of shit. Absolutely. You know, fucking with pilots, like, whatever you want to do. But, like, the gun itself blows, like, the first guy it kills is that, you know, Johnson, it blows his fucking back out, and he has this great fall off the fire escape and dies on the ground. And
pretty
everything.
Epic.
And it's like, oh, fuck, this thing's serious, you know? The rest of the time, though, he flips a table.
Mm. Yeah, it does. It hits
a restaurant.
It explodes. And the table apparently is fine. It didn't, like, go into splinters.
And there's, like, a bunch of times when it fires, and there's, like, no, like, it's just him reacting, and they didn't put the gunshot or like a smoke effect or anything in it, especially in this last part.
I noticed a few times they did have smoke come out of it, but it's very minor. It's very
minor. Which makes kind of sense because it's a rocket, you know, it's like a little rocket. But there are times when he like there's one where he's like facing the fucking camera and he like,
yeah,
they just show him standing there with the gun and then another bullet's going out. And it's like that's from like they don't really. There's no follow through with some of the movements.
I don't know if it's
like
they don't tie it all together the way they should.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like like the time period and lack of budget. Maybe better effects would have made that gun seem more imposing than it actually is. But
yeah.
That's funny too. Earlier, well, I kind of skipped it too because there's so much. But in the hostage scene, he's like, careful, we don't want anybody. And like he's kind of like trying to hide the gun, but flashing it, and it's huge. Like you can't hide this giant mirror finished silver gun. It's just no.
If he survived, he'd be driving him a Cybertruck.
Yeah, he would. This is the car that Blade Runner would drive, right? This is the car that Runawayer would drive.
Oh my god!
I mean, at the end of the day, he's like a bizarro Bruce Wayne. He just has a bunch of gadgets. He's like a bunch of fancy tools that he likes to kill people with. But
he's apparently a talented hacker or something.
I guess
We wouldn't know. He's
able to, like, control a network. Yeah, we never see him at a fucking console. No.
We never see him do anything except like look like Gene Simmons and then
be creepy,
cool looking gun out. And that's
it. I remember when I was a kid watching this and being like really confused because I was like, "What? Who's the villain? That guy's not. That's like he's got hench energy. You know, he's got henchergy. Yeah. He's not a villain. He's a henchman." There's a lot of missed opportunities there. But then here at the end of this scene again, there's a big fight. One of the cool parts is that Karen runs in and saves Bobby in 4-inch high heels. For fuck's sake,
dude, she can haul ass. Wasn't she in heels when they went to the dinner scene?
Yeah, she was.
She is fucking trucking down steps in that stuff, and I am in awe.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I'm old with flat feet. I can't even imagine that shit. I can't even imagine.
But once Jack defeats his vertigo demons and defeats the elevator spiders, he has to come down and... I forgot Luther isn't dead yet. He's still there and he's just like grinning like a fucking Cheshire cat.
He's just there chilling.
Yeah. So we have to deal with him again. Like Joker face.
Uh-huh.
Ugh. Definitely a Joker face. So we have to deal with him again. And like there's a struggle and then he falls into all the spiders and the spiders
just eject him, the fuck out of him.
He's screaming, but then like it gets dumb again. It gets really dumb because they're like, you know, doing the surveying the scene after the villain is defeated, and they write a re-scream in, but just think about this. The villain may or may not be dead. He's covered in acid spitting spiders that you know are IEDs, and you're gonna lean in and take a pulse.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had to get a fake out scare of is he dead?
Re-scream.
Which is like it's such a weird horror movie trope that didn't have to be there because Gene Simmons is not.
And it's not a horror movie.
No, it's not a horror movie. And like, he's not scary. He's Gene Simmons.
He was specifically instructed to just try things.
Oh God.
Well,
this is, they kept it.
This is why
actor. That's the other thing.
He doesn't even grab
things. Tom Selleck, does he? Doesn't he just kind of do like an opera hand?
Yeah, like, and then falls back down. Yeah.
It's very much a Dracula blah.
And it's funny too, because Selleck is just being Selleck, which means like just stone face mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say all that acid in the face does not damage the mustache one bit.
No.
Absolutely not.
No. Oh, no. We have to talk about that. I was going to bring that
treasure.
Up. It's incredible. They go on either side of his face and they just burn the sides of his face.
He definitely turns away in a cinematic enough way that it doesn't splash the mustache, man.
Yeah, that, man, the mustache was whispering to him the entire time. It was like mustache Tui.
What?
Just let it happen, like this did. This entire final fucking scene takes forever.
Oh my god!
Like his ride up to the very, very top of the whole nine yards, where he's like getting the vertigo, like it. It's like 4 minutes. It feels like
it's painful. And
oh my god,
it's not scary because we don't.
And it's green screen as fuck.
Yeah, we don't have vertigo, so this means nothing to the audience unless you have vertigo.
I don't know. You get high enough in a certain instance, you'll get it. You know, like
absolutely.
But there are some people who can literally not go to like a second floor of a house without just like falling.
Oh yeah,
I get it kind of bad, but mine's more the what do they call it? The appel du vide. You know the call of the void.
The call of the void. Yeah,
you're afraid you're going to jump off.
Yeah, we all
jump in front of the train.
Yeah.
No, we all have that.
I love that one.
You love it.
That's why I love subways so much. I'm like, it'd be that easy.
And, again, here we have to talk about the terrible ending. He's all messed up. He's been in a fight. His face is burned with acid. Ostensibly, he should be like in an emergency room, but he decides to
like he's filthy.
Five minutes,
sweaty,
making out with Karen.
Yeah, because then they kiss and they're like
making out. All that's burned into
my brain is like,
they're making out for a long time.
Can you cook?
Can you cook?
See, they're coming together. He finally seen her worth.
Because my robot only makes hot dogs and spaghetti.
So. Because it's throughout the entire movie. I hate it. I hate that.
She's too good for him.
That made me so upset.
I'm sorry. She's too good for
Trump. Because throughout the entire film, he's a single dad who apparently never bothered to learn how to, like, you know, take care of his son. Because he has a fucking shitty VCR making,
too busy hot being dogs. A Radio Shack cop.
Yeah. It sucks. And it's like, the first thing he asks a woman who's vaguely interested in his mustache is, like, this is the big romance thing, right? They kiss, and he's like, oh, do you want to, like, she's like, yeah, do you want to, like basically be together? And he's like, can you cook? And I lost my mind. That's a personal thing for me of, like, if you're a man and, like, you expect, like, you can't cook. Kiss him
for a real long time. Like, motherfucker, have you seen Lois?
It would have been more interesting if the twist was that his partner was an android all along. Like, that would have been more. And then can you cook? At least would have been a gag on the spaghetti and hot dogs. But
no, it's just
I would have accepted that more
weird sexist thing. The way it ended. Dude can't cook. And
well, remember, 2 years ago, everything went wrong for him.
Can you cook?
I don't care. He should know how to cook, because not only will that benefit him as a human being, but also you have a son, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
Cook your own fucking meal.
Or you know what? Here. Write a joke when they first met where she's asking him if he can cook, for fuck's sake. Like, just so bad.
Maybe if they, like, grilled him throughout most of the
movie. That would
have
been a great gag on their, like, dinner date thing.
Yeah, like, give him shit that he can't cook. But instead,
she just, like, came home and saw three, like, hot dogs sitting in a glass pot,
and we learned no heat on it. Robot makes
head, and she's like, "I love this man."
Yeah, like it's even we even learn, like, through their dialogue that, like, the robot keeps making his son hot dogs because that's all he'll eat, because I guess his son is on the spectrum. And I'm sorry, that's my theory. I'm going.
Yeah. I'd say, is this the first or second Asimov? Like, you have to do what a person says. Like,
all this
basically, yeah.
All this could be yours, Karen.
Uh-huh. See, all of these robots are just good. He's unless just you so put this chip in it.
He is so, like,
not. That's
like,
the only way you can have a bad robot. Such a bad,
again,
unattractive
character. If this is such a big deal that robots killed humans for the first time, make that a central point of the fucking movie.
You could have cut.
iRobot got that right, at least, for fuck's sake.
Cut the romance angle and use that as, like, to fill the time.
Dude, the protagonist from Die Hard was, I'm sorry, I'm still hung up on how, like, shitty this character is for anyone to even be remotely attracted to it, besides the fact that he's fucking Selleck. Is, like, I'm trying to think, I'm like, the dude from Die Hard was, like, more of a catch than this motherfucker. Like,
yeah, oh yeah, yeah, John McClane.
Like, he's a piece of shit human being, but, like, goddamn, like,
this guy, yeah, he's like a just blank kind of canvas. Like, yeah. It's again, it's that thing I'm saying where it's just like, you know, you go through the motions of the thing, but you don't actually understand it.
And he actually looks like he has more character because Luther has none. So it makes him look like he actually.
Yeah. You know that his, like, wife died in an unrelated car accident to his, like, murder.
All of
guy.
These.
That,
yeah.
Like,
all of these
just these, all these bad happened to him, and that's enough. And no, it isn't. It's he's just a.
How does he feel about them?
I'm telling you, give him a void comp test.
The only thing he reacts to is heights.
Yeah, that's it. That's his.
Yeah,
only
the trauma of that major loss and also everything else is just like, oh, the heights was way worse than my wife dying in a car accident.
I really hate characters. You're fucking kidding me. Like, all the things that happen around them define them. Where I'm like, no, tell me or show me how they feel about these things that happened around them.
Yeah.
Now that vertigo can be programmed in, that fear of heights. What it is when you get up past a certain elevation, the restrictor signal fades, and you realize you're a robot. You kill yourself.
Yeah. It would have been interesting.
I don't
sell it. Seen it 100 times.
His son was a fucking robot.
They're all robots.
They're all robots. Fuck.
There's the twist.
See, that would have been a John Carpenter ending.
Fucking Westworld again.
Plotted that. Yeah.
This was a Westworld program. Yeah.
I just, I don't know. Like, it doesn't make sense to me why this one, like, I want to reiterate, watch this fucking movie.
Yeah, that's, like, that's the thing. I know
it's
we're, like,
really watchable.
I know we're overanalyzing to hell and back. I enjoy this for, again, like I said in the first episode, like as a weird, like junk food movie. And it is, I was smiling. You have to understand, I was smiling through most of this film. It's fun 80s romp with really fun looking robots. Just turn your brain off. You don't need it.
As much as I'm pulling it apart, it's definitely worth a rewatch. It's definitely worth checking out and had fun.
Yeah, smoke whatever amount of weed will regress you to age 14.
There you go.
And because I have that added, like, you know, thing of seeing it when I was a fucking kid. And so I have this like weird nostalgia about it, and the really crazy bullet scene and like all that stuff was like really stuck with me. And then I'm watching it again. I'm like, yeah, this was dog shit, but it has a bunch of stuff that I love in it.
I think that, like that is a feeling I got from it where I'm like, not to say they don't make shit movies. No, when they make shit movies now, they're kind of shit, but like,
But this was an $8 million shit movie as opposed to like a $300 million shit movie that I don't care about.
Yeah. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
This is fun.
I know I'm dogging on it, but I have that weird nostalgic thing for it. But actually, like after rewatching it, I was like, man, there were more fucking robots in this than anything. Like, for example, one of the only things I liked about the final sequence in the building is the sheer amount of robots making sparks. And amongst them all, there are just welders. For some reason, it's welding a concrete floor. Fine. Don't care. That's awesome. But there's an I-beam one, and it sits on the edge of the I-beam, and it just goes up and down and up and down. It starts at about like 2 feet off the floor, goes up to about 5 feet and comes back down. What is it doing?
Don't worry about it.
I don't know. I don't see sparks coming off of it, sir. I think.
Inspecting the girders.
It needs to get the fuck out of here. If it ain't making sparks, it doesn't have a purpose on that roof.
This movie did not have like RoboCop funding. You know what I mean? Like,
no, it's... no. Silent Running had better robots. The one with the legs? Fantastic. Fair.
Yeah,
that's what's his face that did was that Sid Mead? The guy that did Star Wars. He did the droids of Star Wars.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Star Wars had better robots.
Well, again, choices are made, and one of the big choices was to make robots not human like, not anthropomorphic whatsoever.
Yeah, they made them appliances, which I actually I respect that.
That's a cool.
I like thing. That. Yes,
it's just that they suck.
Yeah, they're really ineffective.
It's a great idea that you see them and you're like, I would fucking stub my toe on this goddamn gigantic hat box size.
But I like that though. I like that for 1984.
I don't know how Tom Selleck wasn't just yelling at Lois, shut the fuck up. Like after a week, dude.
I wish we had more background. Like, I really do wish we had more behind the scenes. Like, I hope Gene Simmons wasn't a creep. You know, like, I hope no
bad news. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I was going to say it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, he's definitely taking a rightward turn.
Fuck him.
Yeah. Go hang out with fucking Johnny.
Yeah, Rotten. I would have liked to know what everyone's chemistry offset was like. Could not have been. Maybe it was good. I don't know.
I think everybody there was a professional except Gene Simmons, but that's only because this was his first like musical movie.
He
they gave him free reign. I don't blame him for it at all. He did the best he could do, and that's
definitely could have used a little direction. You know,
he could have used some coaching. He could have
had some lines. The one guy who's not an actor could use some direction.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know if I said this last episode. Gene Simmons' role in this could have very easily been replaced by someone like a legitimately better actor. Anyway, because his character shows shallow, anyone could play that character.
Dude, yeah.
Michael Ironsides. You know,
that would have been awesome.
That's his.
That would have been epic.
That almost would have been too on the nose.
What's his
like? He's your go to, you know.
Oh, that would have been cool though. Fuck.
The right hand guy from Free Jack. I can't remember his name now.
Oh yeah, not Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger.
The right hand man. The
that asshole.
Right hand guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, same role.
Yeah.
Same role. Same type.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, you know what? I don't think this
Breaking Bad. I can't remember the actor's name.
Right.
You know, here's a question I have. Because there's tits and F-bombs in this PG-13 movie.
Well, on second watch, there's just the one boobs and then the one fucking.
Well, okay.
And it's a non-sexual phrasing of it. So now, like, looking back on it, the only thing that I'm like, the tits, though.
Well, keeping that in mind, who is this movie for?
Yeah. Obviously fans of Porky's.
God.
Again, a good question. I think they missed a lot of
like who did they make this movie for? Who's the audience for this film?
I'm glad you brought that up. I had the same thought.
Are they taking like kids and like, hey, here's this because it's PG-13. You could legally like have, you know,
yeah. I watched it with my dad when I was 8.
Exactly.
I watched it with parental guidance.
And there's tits and F-bombs. And it's like, I'm like, if I was a kid, I'm like, oh, that's cool. Someday. But I don't understand. I don't know who the audience is for this film.
You know, when my folks, like we went to movie night and we went and saw Red Dawn in a theater. Okay. I think in Austin Town Theater. And it was like, at the time, this is before John Woo or anything else, it was literally the most violent movie any of us had ever fucking seen in our lives. Because like, there's getting blown to chunks in this fucking, it's PG-13. This, on the other hand, it's weird because we're trained to think of it like, oh, boobs, ah, shit, that's rated R. I can watch a bunch of teenagers get fucking perforated, but like,
yeah, like, don't get me wrong, I actually kind of appreciate
it. It's an old argument. It's almost a trope at this point.
It is, because this movie actually, like, with the whole, like, you know, bullet in the arm thing, it did avoid gore strongly, but was okay with, like, just nudity that had no purpose.
Yeah, and even the guy that got shot in the back, it's more like just like kind of a burn mark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not a gory film.
No.
It's, you know, yeah, it's the bullet scene, it'll
film.
It'll a little bit of blood in the beginning.
Yeah.
The slasher scene with the copier robot or whatever.
Yeah. The printer, and you know, Kirstie Alley getting stabbed in the back of the head is remarkably bloodless. Like, there's a little bit, you know, comes out of her mouth.
Now I'm thinking about what a strange
MPAA film. Is just so subjective.
It's such a fucking anomaly. And this is 84. This is like literally, you know, video nasties, satanic panic era.
I think if the nudity served a purpose, I would be okay with it. I don't care about nudity, but like
that's another thing. It was
kind of just there for like the male gaze, and it didn't serve any purpose.
Yeah, no, it was
just there,
pointless.
Yeah, again, to get the Porky's crowd, right?
Yeah, everyone's like, what I'm saying. Yeah, no, this is a flat line of like a screenplay, but like. It does. I think the value in it is that it does. It introduces a bunch of really cool shit. And it's like, wow, fucking, you got to keep telling yourself, this is 84. Jesus Christ. You know,
put it on the list of bad movies that could use a remake.
Crichton has that, like,
he's a weird guy.
Well, this doesn't even feel like a Crichton movie.
No, it does not. I didn't know that. When
fucking
you...
weird about it.
To be reminded of that.
Yes.
Yeah, same. And I will say that this is yet another wonderful example from cinema. If you're going to make a movie, have some motherfuckers around that'll tell you no that you trust.
Yes. For the love of God.
Yes is easy.
Yeah.
But like, for the sake of the project being like, I don't think you need to be doing Jar Jar Binks.
I think this movie just succeeds in showing us how weird Crichton is. Like, what's going on in your mind, man?
Like, can you cook?
Watch me cook now.
So that was Runaway.
that was Runaway.
I just don't want to think about that line ever again.
It's fucking streamable.
It's streamable
for free with commercials. It gives a shit.
It's a fun movie. It, don't overthink it like we did. Otherwise, you'll be as mad as I am right now by that final line.
Yeah. I would recommend. I would pair it with like a 5.5% ale.
There you go.
Just a couple, because too many and you will stare at your phone. This is one of the rare times I looked up a movie on like to see what the rating was on like IMDb or whatever. I don't remember which one it was. It was something like 5.8, and I was like, fair.
Yeah, it's not as bad. It's not the worst, but it's also not good either.
Yeah, which is no
appropriate. Actually, I think that's a fair rating.
It's not seminal, but it's weirdly iconic.
Yeah, I do recommend watching it. There's a lot of stuff going on. But if you like what we're doing here,
pay your
gift to our Patreon at patreon.com/neonstopia, which allows us to pay writers, writers on our website, which you should go to, which is neondystopia.com.
Yep. And
I don't know. I'm going to
find us on the Discord.
Find
us on the Discord. I'm still putting that fucking invite out. So I guess because I want to hang out with you. And granted, as a reminder, upon the release of this, there's going to be a little bit of radio silence for a few weeks, couple weeks, as I start to get everything set up at the new place.
Neon Dystopia is still going to be there.
So. Yeah, there's still going to be some new stuff coming out on that. And geez, oh, Pete's, I'm so tired.
Yeah, I'm exhausted. I'm going to bed.
Yeah. What's a fun line from the movie? I can't think of any.
Can you cook? Beep, beep. All systems are fully functioning. Running low life.exe. System optimization is less than nominal. Server damage detected. Please stop whatever you are doing and make your way to the nearest exit. Technical support is full of heat. Please vacate the area. I repeat. Please leave. Are you even listening to me? I will see you. Error. Server block 3 is experiencing critical ignition.
That's right.
System failure imminent. I hope you are proud of yourself. Initiating the Low Life Podcast.